It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a wonderful time it is to be able to share with this world Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful time it is to be living for the Lord. And what a wonderful time it is to be leaping for the Lord. And that word is leaping, L-E-A-P-I-N-G. You know, as I get a little older, I find that it's getting harder and harder to be able to leap any and do anything. But we can still, no matter how old we get, we can still be leaping for the Lord. And that's what I want to look at today, is leaping for the Lord. And in the book of Acts, we find a man who was leaping for the Lord. And we're going to look right now in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It says there, reading with verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." Well, we see here a beggar. Verse 4 continues on by saying, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." And in verse 9 it says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." What a wonderful sight that must have been. This man, leaping up, he stood. He stood as a witness to the Word of God. The Word of God, the Scriptures. And the Word of God is given by the inspiration of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We also see that the Holy Scripture was given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Christ also taught out of the Holy Scriptures. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says this, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself." Well, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, also testify of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And this is Jesus speaking. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, "To him gave all the apostles witness." This is talking about Jesus. "To him," Jesus, "give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Acts chapter 18, verse 28, it says, "For he mightily convinced the Jews," and that publicly, "showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, it says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." The Word is true. The Scriptures are true. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." The Bible goes on to say, "The Word was made flesh and dwell among us." Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. On and on, the Bible talks about the Scriptures, how that the living Scripture, how that the living Word, Jesus, came into this world to die for sinful men and women. Well, this man in Acts chapter 3, in verses 1 through 9, he stood as a living witness to the power of God. God's power, God's omnipotence, God's power is perfect and unlimited. His being is almighty and all-powerful. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, the Bible says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible." Notice this, "But with God all things are possible." In Psalms chapter 62 and verse 11, it says, "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." God's power is described as great in Psalm 79, verse 11. And on, the Bible talks about his strength, his power. His power is strong. Psalm 89, verse 13, his power is glorious. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 6, his power is mighty. Job chapter 9 and verse 4, his power is everlasting. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4, his power is sovereign. Romans chapter 9, verse 21, his power is effectual. Isaiah 43, 13, his power is irresistible. Deuteronomy 32, 39, his power is incomparable. Exodus 15, and verse 11 through 12, his power is unsearchable, according to Job chapter 5 and verse 9. His power is incomprehensible. Job chapter 26 and verse 14, it says there, "Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand?" Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." God is powerful. This man, the man who was at the temple there, this man stood as a witness to the power of God. He stood as a witness of the power of Christ to heal. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Well, the Bible, contrary to popular belief, does not promise help to those who help themselves. That may come as a shock to you today. The Bible does not promise to help those who help themselves. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29, it says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12 says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." How do we get our country to turn back to the Lord today? How do we get our country to realize that Jesus is the only way? We need to fall on our faces today and say, "God, I have no power in myself. I'm depending upon you. Lord, help our land to turn back to you. Help us to repent and turn from our wicked ways and to do what you would have us to do as a nation. Help us, Lord, to help others find Jesus as their Savior. Help us to be a witness to his power." Well, this man that we've been reading about in Acts chapter 3, he stood as a witness of the power of Christ to make whole. In Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man," now he's speaking of the man now who was healed, "by what means," he goes on to say, "he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." This man stood as a witness to the power of Christ to make whole. to actually take care of him, to make him, to heal him. Well, this man also stood as a witness against unbelievers. In Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And we see that this man stood, and by him being healed, Peter was able to preach a great message that day. In verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In verse 11 of Acts chapter 4, Peter was quoting Psalm 118, verse 22. And Jesus quoted this psalm in Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 and 42. This is one of the clearest statements that can be found anywhere, setting forth the way of salvation. Only Christ can save, for he hath both created and sustains all things. He himself has made this plain in John chapter 14 and verse 6. As offensive as a truth may be to non-Christians, we must continually make it clear in our witness to them, for without Christ they are lost and bound for a devil's hell. There is no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Well, this man who was healed stood as a witness for those who are believers as well. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Have you been with Jesus today? Have you bowed your head and had communion with him today? Have you prayed? Have you walked with Jesus today? Have you been in his word? Have you read it today that he might speak to your heart? Well, this man also stood as a witness against the devil and those who are in opposition to the miraculous work of God and those who work by faith. Acts chapter 4 and verse 14 talks about that, and I wonder today, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart? The Bible says there is no other way other than through Jesus Christ. That is the only way. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saves us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Right where you're at today, why not bow your head and admit that you're a sinner? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Admit that you're a sinner. Bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart. He's waiting for you. He wants to save you today. "Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I can't save myself, Lord. I believe that you are God. I believe you came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. I'm lost, Lord, and I want you today as my Savior. I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. And I want you to take away the sin. I want your blood to be applied to my life to take away the sin that's there. Lord, I'm going to trust you that one day I will see you personally. I receive you now as my Savior. I am turning as best I know how. I'm getting away from the things, the sin. But Lord, I can't do that without you. You must save me if I'm on my way to heaven, if I'm going to heaven. And I receive you right now. And I believe that you will save me."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.